I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, columnist Gustavo Arellano, who writes the column Ask a Mexican for the OC Weekly, and we're happy to welcome Zach Rosen, editor-in-chief of thenewgay.net. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop.
Hey, 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 what's cracking?
G-Rock, A-Train, and Z-Money. Welcome to the shop, man. First time in. Hopefully it won't be the last.
Well, Jack is here. He's fiddling with his dials at the moment. Here, can you hear him now?
Yeah,
okay,
right
now.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
Can he do that on the radio?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, dear.
Okay, well, let's keep it in motion. New York Representative Eric Massa resigned on Monday after allegations surfaced that he groped and sexually harassed a number of young male staffers in his office, Michelle. Seriously?
And the thing that gets me is that, you know, you say to people, okay, well, explain your behavior. And then you get even more incoherent than, you know, I don't know. Here it is. He sat down with Fox News Channel's Glenn Beck, which was interesting in and of itself because Matt Massa's one of the most liberal members of, or was one of the most liberal members of the House. And then he went and sat on Fox News Channel's Glenn Beck, where he tried to explain his behavior. Here's what he said.
Now they're saying I groped a male staffer. Yeah, I did. Not only did I grope him, I tickled him until he couldn't breathe, and then four guys jumped on top of me. It was my 50th birthday. It was kill the old guy. We
was
all
your
lived.
Wife at that one?
No, this isn't a townhouse. We all live together.
Hey now.
Great.
Hey now. I don't know, but you know, A Train, when was the last, thank you for that one, Michelle. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you were out with the boys and a tickle fight broke out?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've actually worked on Capitol Hill and I have never seen a tickle palooza before. You know, this whole situation is about as believable as Larry Craig's wide stance in Minneapolis St. Paul Airport. And then, you know, for Eric Massa to go on to Glenn Beck's show and out crazy Glenn Beck, as Jimmy Kimmel would say, that's like out sexing Tiger Woods. So you know, this has been a pretty absurd experiment here.
Well, is it a violation of anybody's civil rights? You know, did Massa cross that line?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be a he said, you know, scenario in the situation. It depends on whether or not somebody files a civil lawsuit, and then you would go to see the preponderance of the facts.
Do the same rules apply for Congress, though? Do they have to adhere to the same? I mean, obviously, for matters of appropriateness, that's one thing, but do they have the same rules for, do the same legal standards apply on sexual harassment that apply in the rest to the rest of the
That's a very
employers?
Good question. There's a concept called sovereign immunity, essentially, where, you know, members of the government in the, you know, federal branches of government, many of them, like the president, for example, are immune from civil or criminal lawsuits during their time while they're in office. So, you know, many lawyers might argue that, you know, he might be technically immune while he is still a congressman. But if the day that he resigns, then obviously he would be open to these lawsuits. Mm-hmm.
Wow, Z Money, license to tickle. Go ahead, man.
The first thing that's been plaguing me, anyone should know that salty is not a verb to use in a sexual harassment suit ever. B, I've been to the DC Eagle. I've been to a lot of really crazy bars. I've never seen a tickle fest, not a once. But I don't know. I think he's just digging a hole deeper and deeper. If you grope someone, I think the thing to say is not, well, yeah, I groped him. And then they jumped me. Sounds like more something out of...
Do you think that... This is one of the things that interested me about this, is it seems to me that if we knew that a man had behaved this way toward women in his office, would we think it was funny? I mean, I'm not saying it's kind of, the whole thing is so crazy you want to laugh about it, but it does seem to me that this behavior is assaultive. And I guess I wonder, is a thing where we just don't take it as seriously when men impose themselves on other men?
I think people are taking it fairly seriously. I think that the man-on-man thing makes it a lot more salacious, and that's why you see it in the news. I'm sure that elder congressmen inappropriately touch women all the time, and that is frowned upon and not good. But something about that kind of Top Gun shower scene aspect to it, I think, is making people, their ears perk up a lot more. You know, people love sex. People love kind of gay sex scandals, and this ties in all of them.
Well, to that point, though, the House Ethics Committee closed its investigation, but The majority leader, Sidney Hoyer, made it very clear to the staffers when they raised these issues with him that they had to take it to the committee, and he said that do not stop at, you know, go straight there. And on Thursday, the minority leader, John Boehner, wants the committee to open the investigation again. So to that point, you know, you can take the partisan overlay off it. Obviously, I think you're right. Maybe they are taking it seriously. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Gustavo here. If he tickled once, he's tickled before. When it comes to things like this, groping, I mean, for him to say, oh, yeah, I groped, I tickled, that shows to me, at least some, as somebody who has covered a lot of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, I think there might be something more to the story than just an allegation or anything like that. I mean, when my dad celebrated his 50th birthday, we didn't engage in this massive tickling match. We just hugged him and said, happy birthday, Dad. It's very, very, very bizarre story.
And remember Congressman Mark Foley, you know, the Republican Florida congressman who essentially had to resign because, you know, he was hitting on underage male pages in Congress and sending salacious IMs and text messages and things like that. So this is not the first time that we've heard this kind of story before.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, next on Maury Povich, tickle fights on the Hill. Anyway, in other political news, Michelle, California State Senator Roy Ashburn admits he's gay on a local radio talk show. Now, he outed himself on Monday after being arrested for a DUI. It was later discovered he had been partying for hours at a local gay bar near Sacramento.
You know, this also reminded me of an issue from the Congress from years ago where Congressman Bob Bauman, who was a very conservative congressman from the Eastern Shore of Maryland, was constantly having these encounters with the police that just were... it didn't pass the smell test. And then, of course, subsequently he comes out and says that he's also gay, was also a father of four, and had a very anti-gay voting rights record. Well, for those who don't know, Roy Ashburn is a Republican representing Bakersfield, also has a very conservative voting record. He's a divorced father with four daughters. And here he is on KERN FM 1180. Here it is.
I do owe people an explanation, and so... the best way to handle that is to be truthful and to say to my constituents and to all who care that I am gay, but I don't think it's something that has affected, nor will it affect how I do my job.
Hmm.
Wow. Zach, is this a big story? What do you make of this?
Well, I hate doing gay 101, but I will say that in the circles, we call this gay puberty. And gay puberty is coming out. And just like real puberty, you're not really sure of yourself and your arms and your legs feel too long. You're just trying to fit in. And I think that Ashburn's way of just trying to fit in is to tell people, well, I'm gay, but I'm still just like you. I'll just be just as homophobic.
Right.
And I'll vote against all your gay laws. I'm just going to be gay while doing it. You know, it happens. Don't mind me. It's a big story in that it's a big story in that it's a common story. And I think that's what makes it. So this is just a very glaring example of someone really voting against themselves, which is gross and annoying, I'd say. And could put out many more expletives, I probably wouldn't get invited back to your
show,
Michelle.
Does it surprise you that they're still having, what did you call, I understand your term about gay 101 or gay puberty. Gay puberty at this stage of our lives. I mean, the Bob Bauman thing was like 20 years ago. And Barney Frank's been out for 20 years.
Yeah, and Barney Frank
who's
probably
a member of Congress, a Democratic member of Congress, who also, that was 20 years ago. I'm sort of, I don't know.
I mean, coming out as gay just kind of hits the reset clock for everybody. No matter what you've done in your life, you're gay, you are a 13-year-old, you are going to get, you know, erections in public, you're going to do things you don't want to do, your voice is going to crack. It's just the way that it happens.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Jack, thanks for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
Wow.
Ursula.
Well, you know, for me, I'm going to put the civil rights lawyer hat on for a second. And, you know, for Ashburn to, you know, vote against same-sex marriage and Prop 8 things, yeah, I get that, you know, the whole right-wing platform. But, you know, when you vote against hate crimes bills and anti-discrimination bills against gays or any demographic group of people, I think that is completely unconscionable. You know, you can adhere to sort of, you can pander to your right-wing constituency, but, you know, when it comes to voting against hate crimes against a group of people that you happen to be a part of or any other group
I don't know
of people,
if I buy that. I mean, there are African-Americans who are against hate crimes legislation, even if it covers African-Americans, because they think that the law doesn't require it and they think that it's creating different standards in the law. And there are people,
well, no, but
I mean, that's like saying... But you have to vote a certain way or have to have a certain political philosophy because of who you are demographically.
No,
clearly
what I'm saying is that, you know, from a sort of legal philosophical standpoint, in terms of hate crimes legislation, those that are philosophically opposed to it are philosophically opposed to it because they said that you cannot convict someone based on what their thoughts are, which is free speech issues. But, you know, in terms of Roy Ashburn and many right-wing politicians today, it's sort of just part and parcel of an entire homophobic platform. And again, that's the aspect that I find particularly unconscionable.
Or maybe they just feel that it's not necessary. I don't know. Gustavo, you're what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, I think Ashburn is the epitome of a sellout. This is a man who is voting against himself only so he could be a politician. This excuse that he's voting for his constituents, to me, it just shows that he sold out his own principles. He sold out himself just so he could get elected into office. It's a sad story. And Bakersfield, of course, is notoriously homophobic. I mean, Bakersfield, just a couple of hours north of Los Angeles, for a gay man to be living there, I really feel bad for him. Obviously, as a closeted gay man, he must have suffered God knows how much self-torment. And I just hope that now he's able to make peace with himself. And we'll see what he does as a politician. But I probably bet you that he's not going to get elected again ever in Bakersfield now that he's out.
Well, can he live wherever he wants? I'm sorry, are there like protected zones where you're required to live because of your sexual orientation? Who says,
I don't know. Bakersfield's pretty crazy.
To decide where you're supposed to live?
Z-Money.
Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
Z-Money, yeah. It sounds to me like he got pushed out. It doesn't sound to me like he came out. It sounds to me like he got caught in a DUI, and then there was some circumstances around the DUI that would have brought him out anyway. So I think we're making it out like, you know, he did like an Ellen, you know, where he did the honorable thing. But I think right. He was shoved out.
Yeah, well, that's what you get for going to a gay bar. Once you go to a gay bar, there's no really – you can't be outed. You kind of outed yourself. He wasn't sitting at home reading The Advocate and someone snapped a picture through his window, I would say.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Gustavo Arellano, and blogger Zach Rose. And back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. So I guess, you know, we can't go too much further without talking about Howard Stern going hard at Precious. For what? Michelle?
I just have to say that this is the kind of thing, and in fact, there are a lot of things we talk about in the barbershop that have at some point could offend somebody. And so maybe we should say all the time, I have to recognize that this could offend somebody out here. But this, he unleashed this venomous tirade against Best Actress nominee Gabourey Sidibe. And I will play it just because I don't feel it's fair to talk about something without letting people know what it is. But here it is.
She is enormous. And you feel bad because
everybody's pretending that she's a part of show business.
Right. It's just ludicrous because everyone's pretending to be part of show business.
And she's going to be around.
And she's never going to be in another movie. And she really should have gotten the Best Actress Award because she's never going to have another show. What movie is she going to be in?
What part do they have that she can play?
Blindside 2, she could be the football player.
She could be the next football player.
she could take out the whole front line.
You know, okay.
Wow.
I can't even. And that, of course, was Robin Quivers, his sidekick.
Right.
All right, Jimmy, you have to take it because I can't even speak on it. This is somebody's child we're talking about here. Go
yeah,
ahead. Go,
I mean, I think what he said was ugly, but I think there's an ugly truth here. Look, now let's just face it. There are not a lot of roles for women in Hollywood. There are not a lot of roles for women of color, and there are not a lot of roles for women of color of a certain carriage. Now, to be all three, I'm afraid it bodes badly for her future in Hollywood. I'm sorry. This is a conversation being had in beauty salons and barbershops all across America. Sadly, Howard Stern had to bring it out in the ugliest.
No, he didn't have to.
Ugliest way imaginable.
He had to. I'm sorry. He had to. He had to be demeaning, bigoted.
No, he didn't.
Sexist. Okay.
But
sorry.
Sadly, he did.
Well, you know, this is Arsalan. Howard Stern has made his money, you know, throughout the years as a shock jock. And, you know, when he signed his $100 million deal with Sirius a few years ago, I think that's the point where he became irrelevant. To me, what was the interesting point was Robin Quivers, his quote-unquote sidekick, who herself in March 2009 was battling obesity. She lost 90 pounds on the Martha's Vineyard diet detox. She issued a press release about it. So for her to be jumping on Howard's bandwagon as someone who has dealt with weight issues, I mean, we all have people in our family that have dealt with weight issues in our life, I think was completely unconscionable again. And I think, you know, Gabourey Sidibe, I thought, was awesome and Precious. Let's not forget She was, you know, nominated for Best Actress with Sandra Bullock, Helen Mirren, you know, with the Meryl Streep, with the highest caliber, Hollywood actresses. I mean, I think it was just Howard Stern being a stupid shock jock like he's always been.
Okay, well, to Howard Stern's defense, I don't know that he was getting at her so much as he was getting at Hollywood. You know, he was just saying that it's not really a place for that kind of actress in Hollywood
now. He managed to say that without being offensive.
Yeah, he said she should be in Blindside 2 as the offensive lineman.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's too bad. That's awful. That's awful that he said that. But that's why he makes the big money, though, for insulting people like that.
Zach, you want
to
weigh in?
I was just going to say someone has to be the first. I'm really partial to anyone that kind of challenges what it is to be normal. So maybe there will be more roles for actresses of a particular size. But also, I just want to question, my mom used to listen to Howard Stern in the morning when I was getting ready for school. So I've heard that man say a lot of things since I was 13. But I remember that he used to have a wife and used to kind of have, I'm a bigot with a wife. I can be cuddleable. And now I think he just managed to attack someone that has more goodwill built up for themselves than anyone else in this entire country. So I don't know what he was thinking doing that. It was probably not the best idea. It was like Don Imus style bad idea.
Yeah. Gustavo, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan. Baba Booey, Baba Booey. But in this case, sorry, you have to say that if you're a Howard Stern fan. What he said, it's below the belt, the Blindside 2 thing, below the belt. He's been saying these things about everyone for decades, of course. Every possible person can get insulted. But I do have to disagree with him and even with Jimmy. I do think the actress has a future in Hollywood, or at least in films. Hollywood, of course, that's where you have these screen goddesses that have to be shifted into a particular person, the Meryl Streep character, the Sandra Bullock character. Maybe she could carve a niche for herself. But at the very least, we know that she does have talent to boot. She might take the track of another curvy woman, America Ferrera, Ugly Betty, started in this great indie film called Real Women Have Curves. And she's made a career for herself in Hollywood. I know she's in that new film with Forrest Whitaker and Carlos Mencia. But I think the future is for the actress that won in Precious. She's going to get a career based out of her talent rather than any issues with body size. Maybe she won't be getting the roles alongside Ethan Hawke or Tom Hanks,
or
but
Mel
I
Carter.
Do think she has a future.
Well, we'll see. Well, thanks, everybody. We have to leave it there for now. Gustavo Arellano is a syndicated columnist who writes the column Ask a Mexican. He joined us from member station KUCI in Irvine, California. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and author of the book The Denzel Principle. He joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. Zach Rosen is co-founder and editor-in-chief of thenewgay.net for, as their slogan says, everyone over the rainbow. And Arslan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney, the founder of themuslimguide.com, and a legal fellow for the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding. That's a mouthful, you know.
It is.
They were both here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.